The second thing that I heard the Spirit of God say to me, he said, stop being yourself. Now, what does it mean when he said, stop being yourself? Now, you know, that sounds so contradictory, Pastor, because you always say, you be you, you be you. You understand that part of truth is the paradox of it. Jesus said, it's not how big the faith is, it's how little the faith is. Little faith moves big things, right? He's always talking about these paradoxes. So truth has a paradox. Yeah, God loves you, you be you. Right? You be you in Christ. But on the other hand, God loves you too much to leave you being the you that you be right now. So you've got to break the habit of, well, that's just who I am. That's just the way I am. That's just how I do. That's just the way we be. No, you got to stop being that. Because as long as you justify you being you, you will never accept the challenge of renewing your mind and being transformed. You're in the habit of being you. And let me tell you what makes you, you, your opinions. Until you let go of how you think it is, you'll never see how it is. You are bound and imprisoned by your opinion. What are we talking about? We're talking about the Word becoming flesh, Christmas. God intended for His Word, right, to become flesh. He demonstrated that Word can become flesh so that we can understand Word can become DNA. When you change what's in your mind, you literally reprogram your cells at the DNA level. Right? Now, you probably didn't learn this in biology. And while I'm making this transition, you probably didn't learn this in biology. Go to Matthew chapter 13. You didn't learn, you learned in what you learned in biology, they're now the higher geneticists and the higher scientists, they're now realizing that what they learned in the 90s is not true. That you are not bound by an immutable set of chromosomes that determine who you are, and you can't change that. They have now discovered a new thing, and it's just now beginning to really be looked at the National Science Laboratories, National Association of Mental Health. A lot of the cutting-edge people that are looking into molecular biology and bioneurology and all that, they're realizing that even though you have the same chromosome structure, in other words, my mom and dad, I have physical structure, a physical body structured like them. I'm short like them. But that won't change. But they say now there's a thing called epigenetics, where from day to day, based on the environment, you are, or no, they haven't gotten that far yet. Something, the environment reprograms how those genes express themselves. In other words, your genes are changing all the time. Not the hard structure of short, look like my mother, but how my genetics are expressed, epigenetics, above genetics. Now they're saying you can change to you, the environment that you place yourself in. You literally change your genetics expression. Well, so what's that got to do with anything? Be transformed, metamorphosis at the genetic level by the Word of God changing how you think. You change by how you think. Somebody says, well, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. No, that's not true. That's not true. That you believe in, you can't change. So because you accept the opinion, I'm old, ergo, I can't change, you programmed your genetics to say, stop right there. We're not changing anymore. We're going to set them into rigor mortis right now. You can be, here again, there's these statements, guys, that they're scientifically correct. You know, they're so young at heart. What do you mean? Well, they're old in chronological years, but young in biological years. If you look at chromosomes, if you look at a gene or a chromosome, it looks like the X chromosome. How many of you remember XY? on the ends, I'll bring a picture next time. On the ends of the chromosomes are called telomeres. On the ends. They don't do anything except replace some of the chromosomes when they get reproduced. Now, they can measure your biological age, how much you've aged, by how short those telomeres are becoming. Right? They can predict. So a scientist back in the 60s was looking at these telomeres, and he did a bunch of mathematical computations, and he came up with this wonderful conclusion. He realized by looking at the genetics of a human being, men are designed to live about 120 years. Well, I could have given him the original science book and told him God already said that. It's good that they're finally catching up with God. But here is the catcher. You can lengthen or shorten those telomeres based on your emotional state. Be transformed by what's happening in your mind and emotions. And one of the ways to lengthen the telomere is through gratitude. Are you thinking with me? Griping and complaining will shorten your life. So what does God do? What does God do in the new covenant? He sends the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and they all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The word utterance is not the normal word utterance. It is a unique word. They were speaking in words that are elevated above normal human speech. That's the word. Now go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I told Pastor I had a message. I wasn't going to preach it today, but here it goes. Because you preach what's in your heart. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 13. Are y'all with me still? Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. He's talking about in a public meeting. Don't spend 20 minutes praying in tongues and nobody knows what you're saying. Let people in on the conversation. Now, in private, I pray in tongues for hours and don't interpret because there's no one that needs to be in on it. It's just me and the Father. Next verse. For if I pray in a tongue, this is not multiple tongues, this is a private tongue, a tongue, singular. This is your prayer tongue, singular, a tongue, right? What happens? My spirit, the born-again part of me, prays, but my understanding, my soul, my mind is not productive. You're not praying out of your mind. Next verse. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, my spirit, and also with my understanding. In other words, if I'm in public, I'm going to pray in my spirit, but then for the benefit of those and because of the love of God, I'm going to interpret what we just prayed. Everybody can do that. I will also sing with the Spirit. You can sing in tongues. Sing with your spirit. And I will also sing with the understanding. I'll interpret the song so you can sing a song in tongues and then sing it out in English. Right? Notice the next verse. Otherwise, if you, what? When you're praying with tongues, if you bless with your spirit, what are you doing when you're singing in tongues and praying in tongues? You are blessing with your spirit. Ooh. You want blessings to abound? Pray much in the Holy Spirit. How will he who occupies the place of the uninformed, they don't know about this, how are they going to say amen at what? At what? At what? At your giving of thanks, since he doesn't understand what you say. He is saying that when you are singing in tongues and praying in tongues, you are giving thanks supernaturally. If you want to elongate your telomeres and lengthen your life, supernaturally pray in tongues, and it will affect the ends of your DNA and charge them back up again. Praying tongues will keep you young. It'll renew your youth. Now, go to 1 Corinthians 14:3. Isn't that good? Man, that makes me just want to go off and sing in tongues for about an hour. Next time you go to do that, say to someone, where are you going? I'm going to go renew my youth. I'm going to go lengthen my telomeres. So the title of today's message is Tongues and Telomeres. Think about it. The Spirit of life. The Spirit of life. The Holy Ghost, the Spirit of eternal life. The same Spirit that dwells in you, that raised Jesus and quickened a dead body. The same Spirit that quickened dead DNA, dead genetics, will quicken your mortal genetics. The Holy Ghost will extend your life. He will extend your telomeres. He will fix damaged DNA. See, instead of just trying to find collagen and wrinkle cream and preparation H to shrink your face up, you know. That's one of the secrets, you know, of beauty pageants. They put preparation H on their face to, you know. Never mind. Why don't you pray in the Spirit? Now here's, go to 4:4. He who speaks in a tongue does what? Edifies himself. Edifies himself. The self of him. It's a self-edification. The word edifies is from the Greek word oikodomeo. Oiko means house. Domeo means to recharge or build up. So we heard this in Word of Faith circles, and I've come to disagree with it because of the language here, that we were taught that when you pray in tongues, it doesn't affect your body or your mind. It just builds your spirit up. First of all, your spirit doesn't need to be built up. It's your spirit that builds you up. Number two, it's not oikospiritos, it's not spirit domeo, it's oikodomeo, the building up, the recharging of the house. So when you pray with tongues, not only are you affecting your mind and soul, but you are literally building up the temple of your body, recharging, edifying, and building and repairing the house you live in. Do we have to pray with tongues? No, you can die young if you want to. Go ahead, have at it. I'll see you when you get there. I get there, right? Right? Now go to Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Say amen if you're understanding this. Amen. I want to get into some of the statements that the geneticists have made just to verify things, because I don't want you to think I'm reading some psycho, wacko, pseudo-psychologist. I've got this information off the government website. You ever try to read an abstract by a person that's forgotten how to speak English? It took the Holy Spirit to help me. Because, I mean, they're using words that they could have just said he did. And they go, oiko babuda bababadiyala. I'm like, why don't you say he did? But they got their scientific jargon, just like Christians have their Christianese, you know.